This morning, I want to share from a passage of scripture, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22 through 26. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, you shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel. If only your descendants are careful in all they do to walk before me faithfully as you have done. And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. And drop down to verse 54. When Solomon had finished praying his entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread toward heaven. This morning, I want to share with each and every one of you from the thought, is your all on the altar? Is your all on the altar? I believe the statement I am about to make will resonate with most, if not all, who are on this call this morning. I miss my church. More specifically, I miss going to church. I miss getting to church in time for Sunday school. I miss those who would come by my office to get their candy fix on Sunday morning. Some even had special requests for free candy. I miss the opening of worship. We celebrated the fact that the Lord blessed us with another Sunday morning. And Lord knows I miss the singing. Yesterday, one of my Spanish co-workers told me she was watching BET and asked me, does your church sing like that? My response was, do they? From the senior choir to the youth choir. From Robinson Memorial to the male chorus, from New Generation to the mass choir, and all our singing musicians and all the groups who have been blessed to come and be a part of worship at the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. I miss the singing. However, one of the things I missed the most was coming to the altar for prayer. The deliberate act of watching people come down the aisles when the invitation was extended to come and pray at the altar. I remember some like Charles Jackson would just stand. Then I liked the fact that we would call out names and lift them up to God. However, now that we are not at the physical church, where is your altar? The Bible makes several references to the altar. In Genesis, Abram built an altar there. Exodus, and Moses built an altar. In Joshua, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel. In Judges, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord. In 1 Samuel, then Saul built an altar unto the Lord. In 2 Samuel, and David built there an altar unto the Lord. And 1 Kings 18 and 32 says, and with the stones Elijah built an altar in the name of the Lord. An altar is a place of holy fires, blazes, and when necessary, infernos. It is the place where God opens the heavens to connect with those who beseech his throne of grace and mercy. An altar is a place where man communes with God. Communion with God assumes we are connected to him through a right relationship. The patriarchs knew the importance of the altar. Abram built one to sacrifice his son, an early sign of Calvary, father, son, and sacrifice. Moses built an altar in the desert to celebrate Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my banner. Joshua built an altar to celebrate God's victory over the evil men of Ai. Gideon built an altar to worship Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, my peace. Saul built an altar to ask forgiveness for his people. David built an altar to the Lord to stop a plague. Elijah built an altar to bring down God's fire from heaven. My brothers and sisters, every Christian has an altar for communication with God, and it serves three purposes. First, your altar is a place of personal devotion. It is your expression of love for the Lord. It is the place where you praise your Lord for his goodness and his mercy toward us. It is the place where you lift your prayers with an attitude of gratitude, saying, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Devotion is an expression of loyalty and enthusiasm. Your expressions of devotion are your duty. Israel's priestly tribe, the Levites, pledged to maintain the altar of personal devotion for the Israelites and keep it burning for God's people. The Levites pledged, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. God provides the altar of your personal devotion, but it is up to you to keep that fire from going out. You are the living sacrifice that keeps God's altar burning brightly. Remember Paul's instructions to the church at Rome? "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You should place yourself on your altar of personal devotion often. No one can do this for you because your relationship with the Lord is a personal one. Grandma and grandpa cannot keep your fire of devotion blazing. Mom and daddy cannot keep your fire of devotion blazing. Your Sunday school teacher cannot keep your fire of devotion blazing. This preacher cannot keep your fire of devotion blazing. God provides the altar of personal devotion, but it's up to you and me to keep our fire of personal devotion from going out. So we must stoke our fire daily. First, your altar is a place of personal devotion, but secondly, your altar is a place of worship. If devotion is an expression of love, then worship is an expression of reverence and respect. The psalmist said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Moses said, "Fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, that thy days may be prolonged." A healthy fear of the Lord will keep your fire of worship burning on your altar. But we must remember, God is not our pal. He's not our buddy. He is our Lord. God is omniscient. He does not know what you tell him, just what you tell him. He knows everything about you before you even utter a word. God is omnipresent. He does not tune you in when you call him. He sees you all the time. There is nowhere you can go that he does not see you. God is omnipotent. He has the power to keep you from falling even when you are disobedient, because he is all powerful and able to do all things. Knowing all this, it is not wise to treat him like you treat your friends and make time for him when you feel like it. That is downright dangerous. Worship is your confession of God's sovereignty in your life. It is what Abraham demonstrated when he was willing to sacrifice his only son Isaac. The Lord should elicit not only your adulation, reverence, and respect, but also your sacrifice. Because true worship is always sacrificial. Our sacrificial worship is expressed when we sing God's praises, when we seek God's face, when we study God's word, when we enjoy God's presence, when we exalt God's name, and when we celebrate God's sovereignty. The psalmist writes, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." When we worship, the Father is glorified, the Son is magnified, and the Holy Spirit is gratified. When we worship, the Bible is ratified, the church is edified, the soul is satisfied. When we worship, Satan is horrified. First, understand your altar is a place of personal devotion. It is also a place of worship. But finally, it is a place for the cleansing of sin. It is a place of repentance and purification. We should be glad we have an altar for our daily purging because we need it. We shower every day to wash the germs away. We should repent every day to wash our sins away. The sin of obedience, the only way to defeat this sin is to surrender to God. The sin of distrust, the only way to conquer this sin is to rely upon God. The sin of disloyalty, the only way to overcome this sin is to obey God. The New Testament word for altar means a place of sacrifice. Where is your altar? It cannot be the one that we have been accustomed to coming to the church because at the moment, because of the pandemic, we don't have access because of the doors being locked. Your altar is not the quiet place in the corner of your kitchen or bedroom. It is not the closet or the bathroom or the backyard porch. Unlike the altars of the Old Testament, it can no longer be constructed from wood or stone. So where is it? Where is this mysterious altar? And no man can build, yet every man must have. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your altar is Christ. And you can take him with you wherever you go. Christ is our place of sacrifice. He is the altar of the Lord. The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world has no blemish or stain. He was bruised for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Your altar, Christ, who sacrificed himself for you, should provoke your own personal sacrifice. That is what it did for Elijah Hoffman. He was born in Pennsylvania in 1839 to German immigrants. His father preached the gospel for more than 60 years. Hoffman grew up in home that practiced daily family devotions. His favorite part of their devotions was the hymns they used to sing. The songs became as natural to his soul as breathing is to the body. When Hoffman grew up, he too became a preacher, but it was the music that soothed his soul and reminded him of Christ's great sacrifice. Hoffman wrote the music and lyrics for more than 2,000 songs in his lifetime, and many are now forgotten. But there are three that I believe you will still recognize. He wrote, "Are you washed in the blood?" He also wrote, "I must tell Jesus." And one of my personal favorites is "Your All on the Altar." Is your all on the altar? All your confession, all your gratitude, all your service, our union with Christ is an act of divine grace. We are bound by a covenant to his redemptive work. Christ said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We are laborers together with God. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The psalmist writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Where is your altar? Have you sacrificed your life to Christ? Pastor Hoffman asks, "Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest when you yield him your body and soul. The message of God for the people of God. Maybe there's someone on this call this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I want to extend this invitation to you through prayer. And I ask that you would repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people into my life who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you believe this prayer that you have just prayed by faith, you are saved. And if you have accepted Christ and still need to know more about your decision, if you already know Christ and desire to grow in your relationship with God, please don't hesitate to give myself a call or one of our deacons a call, and we'd be more than happy to discuss this decision with you further. God bless you. Go in peace.